Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And none of those guys, Seth Dunlap with you until 8 o'clock tonight on Sports Talk. Mark Menard's behind the glass. And yeah, the College World Series first pitch, a strike on the outside corner as Vanderbilt. They're the home team tonight. Vanderbilt and Michigan, winner take all at the College World Series. We'll keep you updated. Top of the first inning, again, just underway. This hour, lots of Pelicans talk. Scott Alexander should be joining us in just a little bit, host of Primetime Sports, to talk Pelicans free agency, who they might target. I have a column up, a blog up online at WWL.com and the Radio.com app just a couple of hours ago, analyzing the Pelicans roster before free agency. And, of course, free agency opens on Sunday. And the Pelicans have revamped their roster very expeditiously over the last couple of months, and that is likely not going to be complete, that overhaul, as they have $31.2 million in cap space to spend. I think that they have depth concerns at point guard, possibly, as they just have Lonzo Ball and Frank Jackson. I think they could use the third guy there. Also, the small forward spot, they could use a versatile forward who can shoot the three, and also at the five, really kind of a multifaceted big who can play multiple positions and be an effective rim protector, give them more depth there. Interesting about the depth, they're already 10, 11 deep. I mean, if they rolled out the roster tomorrow and the season opened tomorrow, they could go 9, 10, 11 deep. So they got more depth than they had pretty much any time during the Anthony Davis era. Now it's just about adding to it with that cap space and maybe dangling some of these pieces they have on their roster in the trade market. Here comes Scott Alexander again, Primetime Sports on CST and WLAE television. He hosts that, and he's on Twitter at @DScottAlexander. Scott, I heard you're on the beach. You're taking a little break from your beach to come talk with us. Is that right?
Man, first time in 3 years, Seth. I've had the sand between my toes. I used to do this 4 or 5 times a year, and I've been too busy working, so I said, man, I've got to get away. So, yeah, I am on the beach somewhere between Rosemary Beach and Panama City Beach. I'm not even sure what beach this is, but it's really nice.
Yeah, dude. Well, look, I can't believe you're joining us, man. Thanks. It means a lot. It means a lot. But, look, getting you to talk Pelicans isn't very hard, right, or any basketball.
No, especially with you, dude. I told the producer that. I said, man, it's just Seth. I always enjoy it. Let's talk NBA. I always have a blast. But let's do it. What you got on tap today?
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about the roster first before who they could possibly target. Your concerns possibly about depth on this roster, are they there? What positions do you think that they need to address most poignantly here as we're just days away from free agency opening?
Well, it's kind of obvious they don't have any meat. You know, they don't have much inside. Obviously, Zion's going to be a powerhouse, I think, inside. He's a rookie, though. He's going to take time, but he's only 6'7". You're going to have to get somebody. It just depends on what kind of car you want to drive. Do you want to drive a Cadillac and maybe get one of these higher price free agents and hold on to them? Maybe a young guy like Vucevic we talked about before. Or do you want to go to a cheaper model that maybe you can get some defense and protect the rim? A guy like Dwayne Dedman, who not many people out there know about, but he's had two pretty good years in a row. You probably get him for under $10 million. Or do you want a shooter, a guy that can block a couple shots, but he can shoot and spread the court because the Pelicans don't have shooters right now? That's one of the things they're going to have to address as well. And that guy would be like a Brook Lopez. And if you can get him to come in, he might be attracted to play there. He was on a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals. He only made $3.5 million last year. I know he's probably going to be seeking at least triple that. So it's going to be interesting. There's so many options, Seth. They really are at all positions. You know, people say, you don't need a guard. You don't need a three because you got these guys. Well, you know what? You need six men. And if you get a good three, if you go all out and try to get one of those, maybe your guy that's Brandon Ingram becomes the sixth man. So everything is on the table at this point, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting that you brought up Brandon Ingram there. I think it seems like Pelicans fan base, a lot of the analysts here locally, a little split on Brandon Ingram, whether they think he can be, you know, that all-star kind of guy that he projected to be just a couple of years ago before the injuries, or whether maybe that decline last year wasn't a product of LeBron and maybe just a natural product of, you know, what kind of player he actually is.
I'm not sure what he is, honestly. I thought he was overdrafted at 2, but he was still the second pick of the draft just a few years ago. He's still very young. Still hasn't filled out enough. I mean, he was a beanpole coming in, and now he's just a pipe cleaner. But the fact is, the guy needs to add meat. He's skilled for sure. The guy is a player. Whether he's an all-star caliber player, I have reservations about that. But still, he could be a very serviceable 15 to 18 points a game guy in the right system, maybe even more. You know, Julius Randle came in the system. All of a sudden, he's averaging 21.4. It does open up people's offense, and he has skills. So that is intriguing to me. He can hit jump shots. He's good at 18 feet and in, and he gets an occasional three. But because of his size and because of, you know, he's thin, he's got the height, but he's thin. Zion's got this beat, but he's not that tall. You really do need some rim protectors. We talked about it before, having Lonzo and Drew is great, but once they get by that, they do a pass inside. You have to have somebody that can at least alter those shots.
Yeah, so Cheick Diallo, Pelicans refused or declined to exercise his RFA option, so he will become a free agent, unrestricted free agent, as they renounce those rights. We expect the same with Stanley Johnson. What about some of the other guys, the periphery guys on this roster, who I guess we just don't quite know what they are, guys like Christian Wood or Kenrich Williams, maybe a Frank Jackson? Are you sold on any of those guys being long-term fits here in New Orleans?
Well, they're all interesting. I mean, they all played well at times last season. I mean, you know, two of those guys you mentioned, most people in New Orleans would never have known their name, and they might not still. If you had to have gone to games late in the season, and they both performed well, and I mean, Christian Wood and Kenrich Williams. And, you know, who knows? I mean, this is Griffin, I'm sure, is taking into account what those guys did. But I'm also certain that he's got his own plan. I mean, he's sitting there. And everything's on the table, like I said before. But Frank Jackson, I think he's very viable because you don't want to have him as a full-time point, but he is a good guy that can come off the bench, get you some points, and in a pinch, also play the point if you need to. So I'd imagine that he could be in at least the immediate future and potentially long-term. I thought he showed enough signs of development last season after his injury-filled rookie year that he warrants it. But, you know, like I said, I'm just a little more than guessing right now. I mean, David Griffin is making moves. I promise you. He's got a lot of things out there on the table. And honestly, maybe only Zion and Drew are truly safe on this team at this point.
True that. College World Series update. Michigan jumping all over Vanderbilt, top of the first inning. They have a run in, nobody out, and two on already. So now it looks like just a strikeout here moments ago. So strikeout by Vandy. So one out now. But still runners at first and second for Michigan, looking to win their first national championship since 1962. We'll take a break. Scott Alexander's with us, talking more Pelicans when we come back. If you got a question for Scott and you want to talk Pels with us, NBA free agency, here's the phone number. It's area code 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. And our text line is 870-870. I'm Seth Dunlap. Sports Talk continues on WWL. Seth Dunlap here on Sports Talk, at Seth Dunlap on Twitter. Scott Alexander's with us, at D. Scott Alexander on Twitter. We're talking Pelicans. Here's a text, Scott, from the 870-870 from the 985. Seth, please ask Scott about Al Horford. Al Horford, the forward from Boston, who, Scott, declined the $31 million player option. He became an unrestricted free agent.
You just took my first line. It's kind of wild, man. I mean, I've known Al since he was a junior in high school in Michigan. He's one of the most balanced human beings I've ever met. I mean, he was in Atlanta for years when I was there. Then he went on to Boston. He's been a solid pro. He does nothing spectacular, but he just knows how to win. You look at those records when he was with the Hawks, they were very good. They were in the 50s every time for a while there. Obviously, Boston, same kind of success. You can't pay him that much money. You just can't. I mean, that's just too much money. I don't know what he's looking for. When he turned that down, I just assumed he had another deal, you know, that gave him some more length to his contract, maybe 3 or 4 years at 70, 80, 90 million, or maybe even 100. I mean, that's 25 a year. He passed up 31. So that said, if he'd be willing to do 2 years, oh, yeah, he'd be fantastic. But I think he's trying to get that last contract, and I just don't know if that's the guy they want to build with, because I love Al. I mean, he's cerebral. He's a great player. Not the best shot blocker. I mean, he's not a shot alterer, but he plays great defense otherwise. Great defense, and he is a scorer. It's not ugly. It's a little raggedy looking, but it goes in just like I'm making fun because Lonzo Ball's kind of the same way. Raggedy looking, but at least in college it went in quite a bit.
Right. Yeah. In college he was a 41% 3-point shooter, Lonzo Ball. That's why people, Scott, they say, well, Lonzo can never be a good shooter. No, he was a pretty good shooter in college. Now, like you said, funky shot, but I think he can develop into at least a capable scorer in the NBA, right?
I know he will. I mean, that's not even a question in my mind. It takes a guy, unless you're a pure shooter, it takes you a couple of years to get adjusted to the 3-point line. I think we talked about it before. Buddy Hield, who was one of the best shooters I've ever seen in college, really struggled for his first several months. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a longer line. It's a different game. They're so much more physical in the NBA. He's going to be fine. He's going to adjust. I think he's going to be one of these dudes that gets double-digit assists. I truly feel that, and I think he's going to be at least 16 points a game at one point. So he's going to be fine. He's going to be a long-time player in the NBA. He's always going to be a lockdown defender as well.
Yeah, Julius Randle really confuses me what the team's going to do with him. Maybe not what the team's going to do with him, Scott, but what he's going to fetch on the open market, because he can't really defend, right? He's great in transition, but he also can't really stretch you. He's not like a stretch four or stretch five. What do you think he's going to fetch?
He's an interesting player. He's just one of these guys you like to have on your team. Does he protect the rim? No. Is he a great shooter? Like you said, not really. He makes the intermediate jumper, though. But he knows how to score. I mean, and he really does. And he's a team kind of guy. I like him on a team. I'd love to see him be with the Pelicans. But this guy, he only made $9 million a year last year, right? We all know he was much better than that. He's going to get a lot more. And just like I said a little bit with Al Horford, he's not a veteran like Al, but, you know, is this a guy that Griffin wants to grow the team with? He's already kind of got a guy that's a bullish player like that in Zion Williamson. I mean, do you really want two of those? And I'm not saying yes or no to this. I'm just asking the question because originally I was like, yeah, I'm all in on Julius Randle. But then you start seeing all the other center options. You know, I know he's a power forward, but the big man options. And there's a lot out there, particularly at the five position. I mean, unusually so. I mean, we haven't mentioned guys like DeAndre Jordan. I mean, it just depends on what guys are going to want to make. And do you want to mortgage your future? When just because you have space doesn't mean you have to cash it all in right away.
Yeah, but speaking of mortgage in the future, we're talking with Scott Alexander of Primetime Sports, talking a little Pelicans. Are you kind of in line with me where I don't really want to see anybody get 3-4-year contracts because of all the guys coming up for renewal during that time period?
100%. Unless it's like a Vucevic. I think he is just a guy that – he didn't play well in the playoffs. He played one good game. And he was poor. But the season was spectacular. And I could be a little off, but I believe his numbers are like 21, 12 and a half boards. He gets up and down the floor. That's the guy you can grow with, but it just depends on the style. And I don't completely have the vision that Griffin's going to go with yet, but he wants guys that get up and down the floor. And for a big guy, that's one guy that can do it. So unless it's a guy like that that's young and you can grow with these dudes, I agree with you. 2 years, if it's a vet, you know, you want to win games. I don't care what people say. You play to win the game, but you don't want to mortgage the future. So there's that fine line. So if you want to just get a guy for $8 to $10 million that you know can play great defense and let all these other guys score, so be it. But if you want to contend for a title, well, you're going to have to get a guy that's a little more expensive.
Yeah, I'm with you. If you've got a question for Scott about the Pelicans NBA free agency, phone number is 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. Let's go to Jack in River Ridge. Jack, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're good.
Jack, how you been, my friend?
All right, Scott, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, look, you kind of answered the question I had just now. See, I was thinking I wouldn't be crushed if they spent one more year in the lottery. And, you know, I think this might be an evaluation year of the pieces that they got. But, I mean, you don't think so. You think they'll be – I mean, don't you think they're going to kind of tip their hand when they – depending on who they go after in free agency?
Well, 100%. I mean, listen, I'm torn. I'm not a guy that likes to sit there and plan to lose, but I do understand that you do have to, like you said, evaluate some of these younger guys and see what the best fit is. I think Griffin's got a conundrum on his hands, you know? I mean, listen, like, he's already made it public that he's not out there just to lose games. I mean, he's not going to try to tank or any of that stuff. He wants these guys to grow up as winners. And I don't think, like I said, he's going to go high-priced on four-year contracts, but I think he's leaning towards winning as opposed to completely, you know, just cashing in the year.
Isn't that the new philosophy now in the NBA since they've changed the lottery? I mean, the Pelicans just won this draft lottery with a 5% chance. I mean, does tanking even matter anymore, Scott?
Thank God it doesn't. I mean, I hope not. I went toe-to-toe with so many millennials on Twitter over the last several years, and I'm just going to say this. Anybody that's played any kind of sports at a high level knows you hate to lose games, you know? And they kept saying, oh, you don't know anything, Alexander. You got to go for the future. And I'm like, I'm so glad none of those tanking teams got anything done. And the Pelicans or any team that would have been that got that. Because now hopefully this is over, because there's nothing worse than being a season ticket holder or a guy that wants to go to a late season game knowing that your team doesn't care to win. It really disgusts me. And I know it's become the trend, but hopefully this thing will be over.
Scott, you're on the beach, man. Look, we got the whole weekend there?
I got the whole week, yes. I came on Sunday, coming back on Saturday. I might even stop somewhere in Mississippi on the way. Who knows?
And this is like, I know you talked before, this is like one of your favorite spots in the world, right? You can just be on the beach all the time.
All the time, man. All the time, and it's been way too long. Like I said, it's been 3 years. It almost blew my mind when I thought about that. But I've got the best view, dude. I mean, I literally have a place right on the beach overlooking it. I've got the entire floor. I got lucky. This is the first time in a long time I've been able to have something this nice.
I love it. And, by the way, veteran move, because you're going to be back in New Orleans by the time NBA free agency opens on Sunday. So
yeah, nice. Can I wait? I'll be back on Monday, please.
All right, we will. Scott, appreciate the time, bud.
Love you, bro. Take care.
All right, Scott Alexander, at @DScottAlexander on Twitter. Again, host of Primetime Sports on CSTNWLAE-TV. A couple of texts coming in at 87870. One from the 504. Any chance we land Kevin Durant in free agency? It's from Brian in Covington. No chance. Zero chance. Well, I don't know. I guess anything's possible. 0.00124% chance. Mark, am I close there?
You're the Vegas guy. Is that the odds you would put on it?
I don't know. Give me 20,000 to one, something like that.
You know what? I'll put a dollar on that.
Dollar? Yeah, might as well.
Might come away with 20 grand.
Vegas is going to make a lot of money on those dollars is what's going to happen, because everybody's going to do that. Here's another one from the 985. Do you think the Pelicans try to run the Warriors offense with Sacramento shooters? That's a problem. Oh, look, they're trying to build into a Warriors type of team. You can run the Warriors offense. Doesn't mean you're going to be the Warriors. They have a great offensive system, unselfish, sharing the basketball, lots of shooters. And that's the system that really fans would love to watch every single night. Ooh. I'm Seth Dunlap.
Remember who built that system.
Yeah, Alvin Gentry was part of it. All right, back in a flash. Seth Dunlap at Sports Talk on WWL. We're watching the College World Series. Top of the second inning. Michigan leading Vanderbilt 1-0. They got that run in the first inning. And two outs here, nobody on for Michigan. And, boy, mowing them down, Vanderbilt, right now. We're talking Pelicans basketball. Here's a text from the 985. I can't explain how excited I am that we got rid of Solomon Hill's contract. You know, yeah, it's been a thorn in the side of the Pelicans for a few years. But it wasn't really imperative in my mind that they dumped that contract this year, because why? They're not competing for championships right now. It's not like they needed to add, you know, big-time free agents in order to try to compete for a Western Conference title with the Warriors and Rockets in the Western Conference. Now, this is going to allow you the space to add more players in free agency. It's a good thing. There's no doubt. I'm not trying to say it's not a good thing, but I don't think it's as critical as some people still thought that it was. Let's go to the phone lines. Ed in Hammond wants to talk some pals. Ed, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man? Appreciate you taking my call.
You bet.
Got a question for you. Do you really think that Lonzo Ball is an NBA starter? I don't. I just don't see in today's NBA that a guy that is no better of a shooter than he is, is a guy that you want starting. And I am excited this year for Pelicans basketball.
Yeah, and well, to answer your question, Ed, I do think that he's an NBA-caliber player. He's only 20 years old. He shot 33% from three-point range last year. His field goal percentage has got to get up. His free throw percentage, rather, has got to get way up. But remember, this is a guy who averaged 6 assists a game in relative limited minutes with the Los Angeles Lakers. He's already one of the best defensive point guards in the league. I don't think you need a point guard to average 20-plus points a game to consider them a very good part of your team in the NBA, do you?
Yeah, I do. I think you got to be up there at least at 17, 18 points. I really do. Otherwise, you're playing 5-on-4 because the other team see that he can't make a bucket, and they're going to sag back off of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, this is the Rajon Rondo effect here. Rajon Rondo won a championship, and he's still kind of, even now, a little bit in high demand, relative high demand in free agency. I don't know. I just disagree with you there. Even in this NBA, I don't think you need – now, it's beneficial to have, I don't know, a Steph Curry running your offense, right? But Steph's a unique guy. I've never seen a guy like that anywhere else in the NBA. I don't even know if Lonzo Ball all the time when he's here is actually going to be running the offense necessarily. I think eventually a lot of that offense is going to be run through Zion, who play, you know, 0.4 or 0.5. We don't know with Lonzo. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm absolutely sure that he's going to turn into a player that was worthy of that number two overall selection. But what I do know is he's got the raw skills. We saw it at UCLA, regardless of his funky form, where he can shoot. Remember, he shot 43% from three at UCLA during his one season there. He also has averaged 10 points a game during his first 2 years in the NBA. It's not like, you know, that's nothing. It's 10 points a game from your point guard spot. Got some developing to do, a lot of developing to do, but I firmly believe this system is going to benefit him in a big-time way. It's going to benefit him. It's going to benefit Brandon Ingram, going to benefit Josh Hart off the bench. By the way, I really liked Josh Hart in that signing. Guy who shot 34% from three last year, but he was 39% a couple of years ago from three. Again, I almost want to discount anything that happened in Los Angeles last year. When you're in an organization, just think about this. When your job, if your boss and is kind of colluding with somebody you work with to get you out of there, and they make that public knowledge, and they say, I don't want Ed there anymore. I don't want to work with Ed. I don't want to work with Ed, Seth, and Mark. You're garbage. Trade them. Let's get somebody else in here. And then you got to go work with those guys on an everyday basis still. Things aren't going to go very smoothly, right? So that's really why I'm willing to discount everything that happened last year in Los Angeles. It was just an absolute train wreck. Text from the 985, when are we competing for a championship with two asterisks there? I'm not sure why the asterisks are needed. No asterisks needed for Toronto's championship, even though somebody was trying to throw that in there. I think you're looking at 4 or 5 years. A little bit of an expedited, you know, championship window from what you maybe saw with LeBron James, because LeBron in Cleveland, they were starting with a completely bare cupboard. It took him, 5 years to get to the Eastern Conference Final? I think 6 years, I want to say, before he made the NBA Final, something like that. So I think you're looking at 3, 4, 5 years because they have the pieces in place to be competitive right away. I don't think they're a playoff team right away. But once you start to see the true decline of teams like the Houston Rockets, which I think is going to happen relatively soon with the contracts that they're saddled with. $75 million they got tied up in James Harden and Chris Paul, and now they're really flailing trying to get Jimmy Butler and trying to trade away some of their other pieces. I don't think Houston's going to be this top-of-the-conference team in a couple of years anymore. Same with Oklahoma City. I think that thing's going to start falling apart relatively soon. If it doesn't already, I know a lot of people think Oklahoma City might be done already. A couple of years, next year, not this year, next year, I think you might see a playoff team. This year, I know Bobby and I went back and forth on this yesterday. I don't. Here's a text from the 504. Can Drew really be the face of this team and take them to the next level? You know, David Griffin says Drew Holiday is the face of the team, but I got to tell you, if you look at any of the Pelicans' social media, it seems like Zion's the face of the franchise already. I don't think it's a bad idea, but there's a little bit of a conflict. A little bit of a conflict there when you have. We all love David Griffin, right? And I'm not trying to take unwarranted shots at him, but we have members of the organization saying, "Yeah, you know, Drew Holiday is still the face of our franchise." And then everything you see on social media, they just had Wallpaper Wednesday on the Pelicans' Twitter account. Yeah, it was Zion. I understand why they're doing that. They should be doing it. That's a kid you want to market. That's a kid who's gotten the fans excited. But Jrue Holiday is a centerpiece of this franchise. I don't know if I'd call him the face of the franchise. 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. And our text line's 870-870. The NBA earlier today, it was reported that, well, they're in talks to truncate the regular season schedule and possibly add a mid-season tournament. It's very interesting. We'll get into that next when we come back here on Sports Talk. Well, Vanderbilt crushes a home run, and we're tied up 1-1, bottom of the second inning. Vanderbilt certainly the favorites here, and the home team, and they're trying to take the lead, although there are one out in the bottom of the second inning. Mark Menard was looking up when LeBron James actually made the NBA Finals. I was a little off, a little more but truncated, delay before he made the finals than I thought, Mark.
Yeah, so he had a third season in the league is when he first made the playoffs, and his fourth season with the Cavaliers is when they went to the NBA Finals. They lost that NBA Finals in the Eastern Conference that year, and then right after that is when he went over to the Miami Heat, and then he, of course, won three championships.
Yeah, and by the way, in those years, LeBron was already averaging 30 points a game by the time he was 4 years into the league. So maybe that is a relatively good comparison to what we can see from Zion, right? I mean, it's not the same. NBA is a little bit different now. I think the Western Conference is certainly a lot better than the Eastern Conference was, but LeBron, 20 points a game in his rookie year. I've said I think Zion's going to average about that in his rookie season if he stays healthy, up to 27 his second year, 31 his third year. So maybe, like we said, we're looking at 3-4 years, kind of, I guess, like I was saying, before you're really in championship contention.
And the timing could be right because you're looking at a Golden State Warriors team. I think you could say they probably have like 2 or 3 solid more years in their prime as a championship contender. But maybe by that fourth year, they're starting to fall off a little bit. You never know what's going to happen down the line in terms of attrition to that team. I think they'd like to keep at least the core of Draymond, Clay, and Steph all together, but injuries can happen. Things can happen in 4 years that you don't foresee and you don't expect. But I would think even in the best of times, 4 years down the road, I think Golden State's going to be starting their decline if it hasn't already started. And that might be the perfect timeline for Zion and the Pelicans to step right into that window.
Yep, I'm with you. You've got Steph, who's in his early 30s, Clay, who will be there shortly, and Kevin Durant today, and I'm glad you phrased it that way, the core of Steph, Clay, and Draymond. That's because Kevin Durant, he declined his $31.5 million player option, which I was curious to see if he would actually sign that, considering he tore his Achilles, probably he's not going to play this next season. He would be an unrestricted free agent next season, would have made $31.5 million this year, but he declined it. So now he's on the open market. Will he end up in New York? Will he end up in Brooklyn? Will he stay in Golden State? It seems like Golden State is quickly fading as an option for Kevin Durant, at least from everything that we're being told. Also, NBA news today. This was very interesting. The NBA reportedly is exploring how it might change its schedule a couple of years into the future. Not next year, but in 2 years. First, they would reduce the number of games played in the regular season. It sits now at 82, and a lot of stars taking time off. I think Kawhi Leonard played only about 60 games this year. LeBron James in recent years has played between 65 and 70 games because of this word, this phrase that I hate, load management. Well, the NBA apparently is listening, and they have proposals now to reduce the number of games anywhere from 58 games all the way down to 70 games. 58 games means that each team would host 29 regular season games in their arena, play 29 games on the road, and of course, how many teams are there in the NBA? There's 30, 29 other teams. That means you would play 1-1, almost be a conference-less basketball. And Mark, I got to wonder, with this proposal, we've heard maybe they go conference-less in the NBA, and this would seem to make sense. If you're playing everybody in the NBA twice, regardless of conference, why would you add conferences anymore? Just start putting the top 16 into a bracket.
Yeah, and I think, we saw a push for that in recent years because the West was so much better than the East. You had teams in the East that would have never made the playoffs in the West, and you had teams in the West that maybe should have had a shot in the postseason, having to stick at home. So it wasn't quite the disparity this past season that we had seen in recent years, but it's hard to not make the argument for the top 16 teams making the playoffs, because everybody wants to see the top 16
yes.
teams make the playoffs, regardless of conference. So if they go conference-less, I think that's a good way to go. And you know, we were talking about this during the break. It seems like every year there's going to be some ties at the end of the season, no matter how many games you play. So there's always going to be tiebreakers in play. Plus, there's always that point in the season when you see the top two or three teams in each conference really pull away from the crowd. I feel like that's the point that you can stop playing games. You know, because we know that these teams are the best. We know there's a tie here that we're going to have to use the tiebreaker for. Let's just call it a day and play the playoffs now. But 82 games is a beast.
Yeah, 82 games is a beast. Here's the thing. The owner's going to take less gate money, less revenue there. You got to think the owners, and I guess you know we'll get into this next hour. They're called governors now, although Gail Benson says, no, I'm still going to be called owner. Don't want to get into that right now. We'll do this next season. But the appetite, I would think, not very high for something like that. Another proposal in here, which I really like, and I can't believe the pushback on this. I think this is people just, you know, traditionalists not willing to change. There are many supporters, according to these reports, of a new mid-season style tournament, kind of a cup style tournament. We see this in Major League Soccer. We see this in really soccer all across the country, where in the middle of the season, you take a little break, kind of around the All-Star break, and you do a couple of weeks of a tournament where, yeah, it's not going to be the NBA Finals, but it's a midseason tournament, and you get a trophy. You know, it's pretty cool. It's featured on national television. I really like that proposal. Take the break in the middle of the season. This would be around NFL playoff time and Super Bowl time when nobody's really focusing on the NBA anyways. Do this cup and create something new and a little cool and a little, I guess, inventive. I really like this proposal. Mark, what do you say?
Would those count as regular season games, like towards your record, or is this completely outside of the realm?
I think it's outside. So this would be outside of your regular season games. If it's now, this is what the report says. I think they're just discussing this, but I know Major League Soccer, this is outside the realm of your regular standings, your table in Major League Soccer.
I guess the question would be, would your stars come out and play what's basically exhibition games just for the chance of winning a cup?
Yeah, I guess it depends on how much prestige this cup is going to have. Now, the MLS Cup, I want to say that's the midseason. Check what the midseason tournament is when you get a chance, mm-hmm. Mark. But whatever the midseason cup is called in Major League Soccer, they think that's a prestigious enough event where you see the stars in Major League Soccer kind of playing that. So I think it all goes to, what are they getting paid? Are you getting bonuses for winning this? Is it carried on national TV? Is it branded? And if all that, if the interest is high enough, I don't see why not.
You know what they could do is – you take out all the guys who made the All-Star game,
mm-hmm.
and then you put everybody else in this tournament, and you put a little monetary stipend on there for the guys who do well. That might be enough to incentivize this thing, because you don't have your big stars in it. They're off playing the All-Star game. It's the guys who might want a little extra scratch in their wallet by winning this tournament. It might make it a little bit more prestigious if you do it that way.
Yeah. Now, there is wording in the current CBA, this is up, that says, quote, the NBA must act and use their commercially reasonable efforts to increase basketball-related income for each salary cap year. So if you have a reduction in games down to 58 from 82, are you increasing revenue? You got to think no would be the blanket answer to that, unless you're getting big-time, television revenue increases, if it increases gate prices and everything that comes with that. And I don't know. It's an interesting proposal. You can find it online. Just Google it. I'll tweet it out also at Seth Dunlap. 504-260-1870. That's the phone number. Our text line is 870-870. College World Series tied up at one apiece, top of the third inning. I'm Seth Dunlap. Sports Talk continues on WWL. Seth Dunlap with you on Sports Talk, filling in for Bobby and Christian until 8 o'clock today. I'll call him online at WWL.com right now, analyzing the Pelicans roster before free agency. Free agency opens on Sunday. Tomorrow, I'll be writing about some players the Pelicans should look to target. It does seem to me like the biggest areas of concern for the Pelicans are point guard depth, adding somebody behind Lonzo Ball. I don't think Frank Jackson is ready to be the primary number two. I understand they have Jrue Holiday there, so maybe this is kind of down on the priority list, but I do think they'd like to add somebody or bring back somebody like Elfrid Payton there. Also, adding a versatile forward, a three, who can shoot the long ball, be a little multifaceted, because you don't know exactly how healthy Brandon Ingram's going to be. He hasn't been very healthy during his career. And also, adding a multifaceted big man who can play multiple positions, maybe stretch it out, can shoot the three a little bit, be an effective rim protector and rebounder. And that's a lot to ask in one package, but the Pelicans do have a lot of cap space. The question is, do these free agents, many of them who are unrestricted free agents, want to compete for championships and go somewhere who can? Do they want to come to the Pelicans when they know, at least for the next couple of years, not going to be competing for that championship? It's going to be a very intriguing free agency period to watch. In fact, I think it's going to be one of the most intriguing free agency periods in NBA history, I think. You got Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, Klay Thompson, although reports are yesterday he's going to sign a five-year deal with the Golden State Warriors. No surprise there. Kristaps Porzingis coming off the injury. Jimmy Butler head to unrestricted free agency. Tobias Harris, Chris Middleton, D'Angelo Russell. I mean, you have about 10 guys on the open market who could get max or very close to max deals. Kawhi is the domino that really needs to fall first, you would think. Reports are Toronto, the Clippers, maybe Brooklyn, the leading candidates there. If you missed it earlier, Kevin Durant, he opted out of his contract, declined a $31.5 million player option, so he becomes an unrestricted free agent. Sources most closely link him to the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets. Looks like he's on his way out of Golden State, and a lot of fans will like that. Pelicans-wise, Chick Diallo, the Pelicans renounced his rights. He was heading into restricted free agency. Only been $1.6 million contract rights that they renounced. So this means that, look, Chick Diallo, who a lot of people were pretty high on for years here, looks like his time in a Pelicans uniform is complete. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll from earlier in the day is are the Saints, going to pay Michael Thomas $20 million a year, and is it worth it? You can cast your vote at WWL.com and the radio.com app. Coming up next hour, our final hour, we'll keep an eye on the College World Series. Paul Maneri did a Q&A with The Advocate. We'll get into that. And Cam Newton, if he offered you $1,500, would you take it to switch seats on a plane? I know I would.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.